Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to Anchor. FM to get started.
Look to your left. All right, now look to your right. The person beside you could literally be Mosswood. We learn the history of the land and we question, what does Beacon have to do with names? Stay with us.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
So yeah. Perfect.
Nice.
All right. Right? I just wanted to let it rock. It's perfect.
I know. It's seeming like everyone in the town is a sinner at this point. So.
Mm-hmm. Right. Hi, everyone. You are with AfterBuzz TV on the after show of The Sinner. We are talking season 2, episode 5, part 5. So exciting. We have so much to talk about. We're talking about Marin a little bit more. We get Vera's flashback, which is really, really interesting. And then we finally meet Beacon. We're talking about it. And of course, we have our really cool segment, Killer Kids. And we have a little known fact about Vera and Jack. I meant to make that rhyme. But anyway, before we get started, I'm going to introduce my lovely co-host.
Hey, everybody. Zia here.
Hey guys, Alice Ford here. I will be in the chat as well. So if you have any comments or questions, let us know and we'll try and give you a shout out.
Yeah. And I am Takira Shabre. So let's get right into it. What did you ladies think overall about this episode?
I liked this episode. They uncovered some stuff that we knew and we guessed from last episode. We all guessed that Marin was the mom. Mm-hmm. And we were right, which makes me feel good. We're right about one thing in this show. Because I feel like it's always doing twists and turns. But I like that you were like, oh, okay. I kind of know what's happening, I think.
Yeah.
But we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, this episode was so in-depth. I feel like it covered so many different things. And, like, that opening, I think we'll get to that, but, I mean, yeah, like, mind blown, like, and they never even touched on what actually happened and what actually Harry went through, so that's, like, a whole, you know, thing right there. But we find out a lot more about Mosswood, which I really enjoyed, and we finally saw Heather and Harry kind of, like, battling,
yeah.
Which I think we all kind of predicted. But, yeah, it was a really good episode. I liked it a lot.
Yeah, absolutely. Ditto on all of that. I have to say this is probably one of my favorite, if not my favorite episodes of the season so far. Nice. Because, you know, I'm so analytical. I like the details. I like my mind to go all over the place about what the heck is about to happen. So yeah, let's start with Heather and Marin. So we have a little bit more info. We get a little bit more backstory. What did you guys take? What was your take on that?
Well, I kind of understood more why Heather said it was my fault. I shouldn't have pushed her so hard. Mm-hmm. At first, I was thinking maybe it's because she was trying to get her out. But then I'm thinking that maybe as best friends, you know, they were obviously kissing and fooling around. And there was that edge to it, or that element to it, rather. And I noticed that Heather was definitely much more into it than Marin was. And I feel like for Marin, it was much more of just a exploration type of thing. She was just trying it out. She was like, we're just experimenting, like in college. But for Heather, it was real. And I feel like Marin was like, okay, I've experimented. I don't want to do this with you anymore. And Heather couldn't take back those feelings. Ugh. That's kind of what I was getting from that. And I think that Marin couldn't handle being around Heather anymore, possibly because of it, because she could feel that there all the time. And maybe that's why she started to try to push her away.
Yeah, I think Heather definitely blames herself for all of that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And it's interesting that, nobody really wants to take her seriously when she starts talking about Marin, like from Liddell and her dad to Harry. Everyone's just like, oh, well, you're in love with her. So, I mean, obviously, even if she did disappear, mm-hmm. it doesn't matter because...
Right, which is such a difference
for her, which is weird.
Just crazy.
Yeah, that was a little weird to me. Yeah, so, no, sorry.
No, okay. You're fine. I was going to say the same thing.
Yeah, I didn't really quite get that because I feel like if... Yeah, I care about her, so duh, I am worried about the case. Like, yeah. I don't want to open it up.
But... Like, you're too close to it. I get that they don't want emotion coming in and ruining the case.
Right.
But I feel like it's not necessarily a bad thing to care about what you're doing.
Mm-hmm. What I was so surprised about was the last couple of episodes, we were so leaned to believe that, oh, she just ran away and no one ever heard of her again. But Heather is visiting Mosswood, like... She's borrowing a cup of sugar for crying out loud. Mm-hmm. Like, she just goes whenever she wants to. So that was a little strange to me. Was that anyone else?
Oh, it was weird. I feel like she's pretending like she didn't have as much of a connection there as she mm-hmm. did. She doesn't want to admit it.
Well, it seems like everyone in the town is like that. Because even when mm-hmm. Heather goes asking everyone, people that clearly saw Marin there, they're like, well, I've never seen that girl in my life.
Right.
I don't know. You know? Yes. They know something.
Exactly. So really what happened to her, it's not what they're saying.
Right. You know? Oh, no. No, I don't think
she
so.
She didn't just run away.
No, not at all. I don't think so. We find out on this episode, yay. Vera, you are not the baby mama. Yeah. She is not the mother. Which... We kind of knew, but she openly says it, and were you surprised that she said it?
Yes.
Anyone? Yeah, I was.
Really?
Very, very surprised that she openly admitted it. Although I think it's a power play. I think she's trying to get, Harry to trust her more, mm-hmm. and that's her way of getting him kind of pulled in a little bit more.
I 100% completely agree. I think Vera is very, very smart. I feel like she has tendencies to battle whether or not she wants to. To me, I think Vera's at this episode showed her vulnerable side, her weak side a little bit. So we got to see, I mean, Vera's very strong, but I feel like we got to see her battling with being good or like knowing what to do, and maybe Ambrose is giving her a run for her money a little bit.
Well, I also like that we saw a lot more of her backstory and kind of maybe how she became to be that way. Mm-hmm. You know, how she went from being really innocent and was kind of corrupted by
Mr. Beacon.
Yeah, Lionel.
Lionel Jeffries.
You know, and literally like corrupted by him mm-hmm. and from being this like naive, nice person to like believing in maybe being more violent and manipulative.
It's crazy because she really, it does seem like she went into Mosswood a very lost person, just like everybody else. And she needed this direction and she got it from him. And now she's leading it.
Oh yeah. It's, we never even found out. Can we like back up and highlight? Like, can we just back up and highlight what you said at the beginning of the show? What the heck happened to Harry? It's like they never even really, they didn't want to talk about it. It was just like, oh, he was like, what's in that tea? I don't really think it was the tea.
I don't know. Yeah, I mean,
it's
they
like
don't
this
really...
hypnotherapy type thing.
I feel like we'll probably maybe find out some more information about it next episode. But yeah, like literally he wakes up in the hotel and then he watches the security footage of him actually driving himself and getting out of the car and checking into the hotel. Mm-hmm. Like, so bizarre. And then it's just like, well, that was weird. And then, of course, he doesn't tell Heather, because he doesn't tell Heather anything.
Which I agree that, I understand why she's so frustrated by that, because it does seem like he's keeping things from her. He's not an open book, clearly. He has a hard time expressing emotions and feelings mm-hmm. and expressing himself. So that can be really frustrating, I'm sure. But yeah, going back to what you were saying before, Vera did seem genuinely surprised and concerned that he didn't remember. I rewinded that part twice to rewatch it to be like, was she faking? Is she faking here? I don't know. Because it looked like she was really like, wow, like you, what do you mean you don't remember?
Really? I think maybe if that was a case that she was a little surprised that her plan worked on him. So I took it as she is lining up her defense, Because in my mind, when I saw that she hypnotized him, I guess we'll call it hypnotized. I don't know. Anyone else in the chat, if you know what to call it.
Well, it's funny that you said that, because that's exactly what I was just thinking right now. Okay, good. Maybe it was some sort of hypnosis he was under.
Because that's what I'm putting under. I'm just like feeling the vibe.
That's right.
But I feel like that was completely intentional to say, oh, okay, this is my defense. I'm going to hypnotize him. And she's like, oh, holy crap, it kind of worked. He's crazy. Oh, deep down inside, you're psycho. But it worked. And she can easily say, well, if it can happen to you to where you do something horrible, which I don't know, maybe he did. If it can happen to you and you do something horrible and don't remember, well, then Julian can do it. And all right, plead your case. It's overdone. I need you to testify.
Oh, I didn't even think about that.
I didn't think about that either.
So that's why I'm like, okay, she's asking him to testify. I definitely didn't think it was because she's like, oh, you know, he defended himself. No, like I would put you on the stand and be like, so you remember that night that I put you under and then you have no idea what happened and you just wake up in a hotel room.
But she is going it from the angle that he did it in self-defense. That Julian did it because they were kidnapping him.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why that's why she wants to put Harry on the stand, because he knows that he did it in self-defense. Or that's what all the evidence is pointing to, which I don't know about that.
Yeah,
especially now that we've seen in the flashbacks that Bess was there at the exact same time as Vera. So it's not like she came into the situation many years after Julian was born. She was there from, you know, day one. And from so probably had just as large of a bond with him as Vera does.
Yeah, that'll tie into what we're talking about next. But we do have a little favor to ask of our listeners. I just want to kind of toss it if you want to kind of explain what we got. Anyway.
Yeah, you guys, we've got a ton of other shows here on AfterBuzz. And whether you're into drama, comedy, sci-fi, we've got a ton of different shows that you can watch. So make sure that you're subscribed to not only our main AfterBuzz channel, but also some of our smaller channels like drama, comedy, sci-fi, as I mentioned. You know, we are the TV talk of the internet, and we'd love for you guys to join us every week and on more and more shows. So make sure you hit that subscribe button and make sure that you leave us a comment in any of our videos and let us know that you subscribed. We'll make sure to reach out to you and give you a shout out while we're here in the chat. So thanks so much for being such big super fans and making us the ESPN of Talk TV.
Yeah. Thank you, guys. Everybody in the chat, shout out to Johnny Utah. Thank you for joining us. But I love the tie that we're going in. We ended on Marin and, you know, that she was there with Bess. But more importantly, she was freaking there with Marin.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Like, how crazy is that? Like, I can definitely see. I didn't expect that. I didn't see it coming. I knew that she was probably there. But, I mean, they had like a best friend close connection.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't expect that. Anyone else?
Oh, no, not at all. I knew she was hiding something, but I didn't expect her to be the one to welcome her in and tell her, you'll be safe here. You can stay. Yes. Here's an open bed. And she's still trying to pretend like she doesn't know her, which definitely leads you to believe that something I don't know if something sinister or something shady happened to her, but definitely something happened to her that they don't want to talk about because they keep denying that she was there. Maybe they did kill her and take Julian.
Yeah.
Possibly. Yeah, it's interesting. And, I mean, in the flashbacks, it almost makes Vera seem more innocent, too, because we kind of see her as being younger and almost, like, a similar age to Marin and Bess as well, which, obviously, I never really thought of her as, like, being a young lady until these flashbacks.
Right.
But yeah, it's really, the dynamic is really interesting, and obviously, yeah, something really shady went on for everyone to be, and even Vera being like, I've never seen that woman in my life.
I don't know if it's a theory going around or just I've seen a few articles on it and some people are talking about it on the internet that Julian is being raised to be, I guess they're calling him a scapegoat, that he's being raised to be sacrificed, like the cow. And I guess it's not, that it's not such like a far reach to go from animal sacrifice to human sacrifice. But I'm wondering, maybe they weren't doing it for Julian. Maybe they sacrificed Marin. And that's where she went.
Possibly be a nice prediction tie for sure.
Well, and I'm going to just give Sarah Pontius a shout out as well, because she already said in the chat, Julian is the goat. So
nice.
Along with us there.
It's so funny because like goat, like literally in both terms, both the greatest of all time. Because Julian, I mean, him as an actor, like being so young, he is absolutely amazing. But literally, like you said, possible sacrifice. I don't know. Uh-oh. I know, right? Jillian's experience, like just to kind of stay on him, like we see a little bit more of him. At first, I was like, we're not really seeing much of Julian. Mm-hmm. He's in a really big piece of this story, but we finally see a little bit more of his experience in juvie. And I feel so bad, but I'm also happy because, you know, you got a few punches in on the kid. He's being bullied quite a lot. Understandable.
He's the weird kid. He's the outcast. Mm-hmm. He's different. He's not like other kids in juvenile who are... This isn't a city, so I don't know what these other kids are in there for.
A town.
Or it's a town. Yeah, yeah, I'm not sure what they did there. But he's definitely... They call him the weird, the nature boy. Mm-hmm. So even as a murderer in juvenile hall, he's still the outsider. You can't help but feel bad for him.
He's yeah. also never been around other children.
Right.
So yeah. it's got to be a pretty weird thing for him. You know, he's obviously only ever been around adults. Mm-hmm. So being around kids must be kind of like a bizarre thing for yeah. him, you would think.
Right.
I mean, the poor thing doesn't know. Like he said to Detective Ambrose, he was like, I do nothing right. Everything I do is wrong. So I can't quite figure this place out.
Because they raised him so opposite of what normal society, mm-hmm. or how normal society is, they raised him so opposite to that. And now he's out there interacting with other people. And he's doing everything the way he was taught and the way he was raised. And that's not the same as yeah. everyone else in that town.
What do you guys think? Because it baffled me. His... wanting to not talk to Vera.
Ooh.
Well, yeah. it's interesting because even so when Harry goes to see him at juvie, he asks Julian, why would your mother lie to you? And you could kind of see in his mind, he's like, oh my God, I have to kill my mother.
Yeah, right.
She's lying.
He's like, crap, I know what happens when you lie. Like,
well, because that's his whole reason that he said yeah. he killed Bess and Adam is because they lied. And now he's learning that pretty much everyone that he holds close to him is a liar.
Yeah.
And he literally calls Vera a liar in this episode.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can't just go around killing everyone or else nobody else around. I love that he highlights more on his dream, though. How weird is that? Because yeah. I know we talk a little bit about his dream and what it might mean, but he literally gives us info that it might literally mean someone tried to take me.
Yeah.
I know we'll, you know, keep kind of tied into this whole Beacon fellow, but...
Well, yeah, it sounds like I wasn't sure if he was saying that, like, in a more recent dream occurrence that somebody did try to kidnap him, or if that was, like, a long time ago, and now he's been having the reoccurring ones. Like, which one came first? I don't know.
He said a couple weeks ago.
Mm-hmm. Right, so...
Which kind of makes me... Yeah. To me, I would think he literally saw the person
right.
a couple weeks ago.
Coming into his room.
Coming into
right.
his room.
And that's what Vera, I thought as well. And then Vera was like... That was a dream. It was not real.
Right. But I see what you mean because it did, like the last few episodes, it did lead us to believe that he's been having these reoccurring dreams for like ever.
For like forever, mm-hmm. right.
Yeah. But maybe yeah. they were prepping him. Maybe because she said, you know, oh, this lady comes in cloak. Has she ever visited you, Detective Ambrose?
Oh, right.
Like maybe, I don't know.
But the interesting thing that Julian said too was that when the shadow person came in to take him, that other people came in and attacked the shadow and drug him out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, so.
I couldn't help but think that it might have been the beacon, unless mm-hmm. he is gone, or, I mean, dead, or they just cast him out, or banished him. I feel like that's very cult-like terms. They banished him. You're banished forever.
Yeah.
That they banished him and cast him out of Mosswood, and he came back for Julian, because Julian's important to him somehow. And I don't yeah. know if it's for a sacrifice or if it's for something else.
Yeah, I'm 100% on board. You know my mind is all. I like can literally write this entire season like, yep, that's what happened and I'm sticking to it. But I think Julian being that open with Detective Ambrose, like I think that's why he doesn't tell Heather. I know you highlighted it. It's like he's lying a lot to her. But obviously, we know Detective Ambrose breaks rules. He right. breaks into people's houses. I mean, he goes to visit people when he knows he's not supposed to. So I feel like he doesn't tell the truth. He doesn't give all detail because that's just how he figures things out.
I kind of agree with you on that. I feel like he's not necessarily being an open book because he's still figuring things out himself. And when he knows, he will tell her. But until then, he's still kind of working on just getting all the pieces.
Yeah. Well, right, because he doesn't want Heather to go and do something that he deems irresponsible, like when she went and talked to Vera and accused her of not being the mom. Even though that ended up resulting in a good thing.
Yeah.
I think Harry always is like, oh, no, if I tell anyone anything, they're going to blow the whole operation.
Yeah, so. that's true. Speaking of him breaking all the rules, he breaks into Glenn Fisher's house.
I'm glad he did, though.
Yeah.
I am, too, but none of that's admissible in court unless you have a warrant. So if he found anything good, he would have to find reasonable, like a reasonable, I guess, reasonable doubt to get a warrant to go in there and search for real so he can actually use any of it. But I understand.
I think that what he ends up finding, he could easily, now that he knows that, actually look for, like, go to the library, public records or whatever, and actually find that real information. But yeah, obviously, I mean, we know all the cop shows when they do that, it's like, you can't do that.
You can't use it.
But when they were talking to, what's his name again?
Glenn.
When they were talking to him, and he was saying, I went there just a couple of times, obviously, obviously he got very defensive and was like, you should leave now. And when he goes back in, there's the metronome sitting right there, which leads you to believe it's not just a couple of times, and he's another one of those people, like Harry said.
Literally, at the police station. Everybody. Right.
To the deputy.
Right. Who gave him that look, like, okay.
Yeah,
I'm one of them.
I got my little insight on that at the end.
Glenn also said that he was actually beating himself. Did you guys believe that?
Yes. No, I did, but on a completely, because again, you know how I am, on a completely, like, under some level. Like, you know when he was, who was the doctor that killed himself?
Sure
he was writing that, it's like, oh, I'm
the Minotaur.
I'm the Minotaur. I'm trying to escape myself. Mm-hmm. I think this whole work session, whatever, makes you believe that you are harming yourself, like you are your biggest enemy in a weird sense, because you're not letting everything that you can fill in. And so I feel like it probably was a real person, like kind of how Vera stepped in for that guy. Right. Like that was a really weird situation.
Well, yeah, and then in the comments from last week's video, someone brought up the beating from the video that we had seen before and said that they didn't hear any noise being reciprocated. But I think now that we saw Vera's flashback and she tries to be extremely quiet and not make a noise. So, I think there probably was someone there.
It's almost like they don't want to disturb this person while they're having their moment.
Right. Mm-hmm. There can't be any fighting back.
Yeah. There can't be any sound. Like, they have to be completely immersed into. And it's kind of like going to season one when Detective Ambrose sits in on Cora's session, like, you know, when she was in that kind of hypnotherapy to bring forth her thoughts. It's like an interesting tie. It's like the therapist said, you can sit here, but you can't speak or you can't do anything.
Right.
So it's an interesting tie. But I think he may have really been beating someone up, but he didn't want to admit that part.
Yeah.
Well, yeah,
I
for
agree.
Sure. Or admit anything for that matter.
Right. I mean, the fact that there's this big, huge rock and you don't want to admit that your grandfather was the possible founder of this weird rock.
Well, so do you
rock.
Think that his grandfather found that rock, like, on their property?
I mean, he was standing beside it like he went fishing, for crying out
right?
loud.
Right. Like, look what I found, guys.
Look what I found. It's like a prized possession.
Maybe he just thought it was really, really cool.
Let me build all this evil around this cool thing.
Well, he sold it to... Did he sell just the land to Lionel? Or did he sell with everything built around it? Or did Lionel come to him and was like, I must have this rock?
It sounded like to me that they let Mosswood rent it for a number of years, and then they ended up selling it to Lionel.
But they said that it was leased to a resort, and then they sold it.
Oh.
And so
So the resort probably built
all of this stuff and yeah, like maybe a little vacation rental type of, you know, a getaway, and then Lionel came swooped in and said, "Oh, this is perfect for all of my great plans of sacrificing people." But that's kind of how I took it. But I don't know. It's just really interesting that, of course, Glenn didn't say all of that, and he clearly still practices.
What are you hiding?
Exactly.
What I found also really weird is obviously that makes Harry suspicious of his friend Jack. And they have falling out. That's at the later, but I also find it weird that Jack's defending him and saying that he's a stand-up guy. It doesn't seem like it goes far as Jack. Because
then Jack's like, "I've never been to Mosswood."
Right.
And I'm not going to lie. I don't trust. I love Jack because I love who he is as a person to Heather, but I do not trust him. I think that he's in.
Well, and also, as soon as Marin went to Mosswood, he was just like, "Forget it, Heather."
And she said,
"Don't go there."
And he said, "This is what she needed." If you really think that these people are crazy and you don't believe what they're doing or worshiping or practicing, he almost like encouraged it, like he was all for it. So clearly this is a very small town and there are a lot of people connected so deep into this thing that you're going to bump shoulders with someone that you went to college or high school with or middle school with and that they went to Mosswood. And you're like, it's no big deal.
Right. I'm starting to think that as well because there was, I can't remember which episode exactly it was, but the sheriff was saying, maybe it was the first one even, or the second one, the sheriff was saying that they had tried to go against Mosswood once before and it didn't end well for them. So they don't like to stir things up with Mosswood. So I wonder if it's kind of like a weird unspoken rule between the people of Mosswood and the people that aren't in Mosswood, but know people who are in it, outside of it, but in it. And they're just kind of like, well, don't ask, don't tell.
Right.
We're not going to mess with you. I don't want to know what's going on there.
It makes you kind of question how big this thing can get.
Yeah.
We kind of get that it can't go supposedly past Canada. So we are kind of led to believe that Canada is this oasis of perfection. And this,
as it is in all TV shows.
You know? All TV shows. Hey, Handmaid's Tale.
That's right.
But it's just this glory land. And you know what was so weird to me was we harped on it so much in episode one that they're going south. They're going to Niagara Falls and all of the, which Niagara Falls is of course Canada pretty much. But they're going south.
Well,
the thing is with New York, I mean, it's like if you're in upstate New York, Canada is like here. This is my drawing. So it's like you could, if you're here, you could be driving south to then go into Canada. I guess.
All right, I'll give that.
The way borders are.
Yeah.
I can see that.
Maybe that part of the Canadian border was closed or something, had to go around. But I love that Heather went into this storage unit. So this kind of is turning us back down to the infamous moment at the end when we meet someone that is so pillar to this episode. But I just want to highlight really quick the storage unit. And the things in it. And
was that set to be a hideout? Is that what they were trying to do? Or were they taking Julian there to meet someone?
All I'll say now is we have kids' clothes.
Mm-hmm.
We have tapes.
Books.
And we have a really we have a really scared storage unit owner who doesn't want to share the tapes unless provided warrants or subpoenas for them.
Right.
True.
It's interesting.
And they're gone.
If they were really trying to take him to rescue him also, Bess and Adam, why would they still have all the books and the tapes and all of his teachings if they're really trying to get out of Mosswood?
I don't know.
Unless they were maybe going to like start their own offshoot.
I don't know. Mm-hmm. Let us know what you guys think in the live chat. But this is a great time to remind you, by the way, thank you for everyone joining us in the live chat. We appreciate it. Thank you for everyone that watches us on YouTube and comments and all that good stuff. We're also on iTunes, so you can find us via podcast. Drop us a review. Let us know what that we're doing a great job, or leave us some constructive criticism, whatever the case may be. But regardless, give us 5 stars, because, you know, 1 through 4 just don't work. Drop us a review. But yeah, we're on iTunes too, so if you're checking us out there, thank you so much. Let us know that you're subscribed and we'll give you a shout out, so we appreciate it. That brings us to kind of our last big topic, Mr. Beacon.
Ooh.
Yes. First of all, can we just, he's clearly Vera's teacher or constant, like Vera is his little Padawan. So he's like trying to bring her up, and she seems a little like vulnerable a little bit. Marin's a big piece of it. We're led to think that Beacon is the father of Julian, which is crazy.
Yeah.
And Vera, to me, kind of shows a little when she introduced Marin to Beacon, Mr. Jeffries, Lionel Jeffries.
He's the Beacon, though.
Same thing.
Oh, my God. Yeah. You know what? I wrote Lionel Richie on my...
Lionel Richie.
No, that's perfect.
No shade. No shade intended.
Oh,
hi,
amazing.
Lionel. Hello. But yeah, so they meet, and Vera kind of stands outside on that first interaction as if she kind of already knows what that interaction is going to be like, or she's jealous. What do you guys think about that?
Absolutely. She was standing outside of the door listening, like she was jealous and she knew exactly what was going to happen. Like she had been there in that position at one point, and now she's not anymore because he's done with her.
Well, right, because you see when he introduces the cow to her later on that he's like, he like, you know, brushes her on the face, like, lovingly. Like,
but she kind of flinches, know, like she's not about... Bleh. Yeah, she's just like, ugh, I'm okay.
So what happened there?
Ooh,
that's maybe it's because he was now sleeping with Marin and then changed his whole outlook on... you know, children as soon as she was pregnant.
Well,
and then all of a sudden was like, yeah, it's fine.
Don't worry. Let's have a Brady Bunch running around here.
And she looked very upset by that. That upset her, it seemed like, more than anything else. And it's interesting because I wonder if she was also pregnant at one point and got her uterus taken out without her consent.
Isn't that amazing?
Well, yeah, because she does say, oh, I can't have... Didn't she say at some point she can't have children of her own? Yeah.
And Bess.
Yeah.
She said that about Bess, too, but she didn't say why. So, supposedly, there's a lot of pregnancy going around here, but just no babies.
So, impregnates all the women, possibly, then has their, you know, has an abortion, but really takes all of their uteruses. But this one case he's willing... And this is just a guess. I'm not sure. But there's just this one case that he's willing to make an exception. Mm. Why is that?
Well, yeah, because, obviously, Dr. Sherwood killed himself, so he must have taken a lot of people's uteruses.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I'm
guessing it wasn't just the one.
Yeah, I'm sure.
And then what does he throw the uteruses in the lake?
Maybe that's what's in the lake.
Purple lake. Oh, look. Oh, that's like, very visual. But we're very visual people around here. Well, you know, I think his, like you said, you highlighted it, his willingness to kind of change, but he kind of spins it into, okay, we're strong enough, because he mentioned to Vera that we're not strong enough for kids, we're not strong in the work, and now he, especially when he introduced the cow, he's like, okay, we're strong enough, I feel it in the air, we're more clear.
We can go further. That's what he said. You're
right.
We can
further. Be more violent.
Ooh, and then that's when my wheels of thought started turning. And to me, that was his intentions for Julian.
To raise him, to sacrifice him?
Kinda.
That is what everybody
else
is saying.
I think that's where we're led to believe is supposed to happen.
And maybe that's why he was kicked out of Mosswood, or maybe killed himself, because everybody else got attached to Julian, was like, no, we're not killing a kid. And Vera, her motherly instincts came out. She's like, I can't have a kid. This is my kid now.
Yeah, that's a really good point.
Yeah, because it does seem like everyone, well, I don't know about everyone, but it seems like people are disturbed when they have to go through these things and beat someone, or probably when we didn't see when they slit the throat of the cow, But I'm sure that afterwards people were like, oh my God, did we just do that?
I mean, they clearly, I guess killing animals was something really, really normal for them. I mean, let's not, the only reason they're killing animals is because he said, we have to let the, we're very violent people. We have to embrace that. We just can't go around killing each other.
Right.
So.
Well, yeah, it's becoming a lot more like a, a voodoo or a, you know, witchcraft or, you know, I mean, some people might say satanic, but there were a lot of religions and other civilizations that sacrificed animals as part of their religion that weren't necessarily evil, but.
That definitely seems like it's leaving the realm of psychotherapy, though.
Yeah.
It's just kind of taken a twisted turn. How weird was it for you guys? It made me wonder, what's his name? Lionel told Vera to name the cow. I'm really interested to know what she named it.
Ooh, me too. That's a good point. About
that. Because that just, for me, that would tell a, it would tell her story. A lot about her story. What led her to Mosswood? Because everyone always comes to find, like she told Marin, like he's just going to talk to you about what you're yearning for, what you're needing, what you want to get out of this. And so, yeah, I want to know the name.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah. I didn't think about that, but that's...
Hashtag what's the name.
That's right. Yeah.
Yes. So what you think. But it's just to kind of end on Beacon, speaking of names, he is so wrapped up in what the name of the child is going to be.
Mm-hmm.
That's what gave me the creeps. Because I'm like, okay, you want Vera to name the cow. You're so darn wrapped up into what Marion is about to name the kid.
Especially when it's she's so clearly just found out that she's pregnant. She's probably not thinking about names. She's probably freaking out considering the situation. And that Vera told her that she couldn't keep it.
Well, what was the name of the book that we, do we know that, that Heather found with all the Julians underlined and
yeah,
circled?
It was the Dolphin, last name Roche. I'll go to my notes. But yeah, I said it a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
It was like the Dolphin at Sea or something like that.
Yeah, I wonder what that, I wonder if that book has any sort of significance, I guess, maybe the context of the book.
For the whole, I said a couple weeks ago, dolphins represent protection, and so I don't know if she knew what Julian's fate was supposed to be, but she named him Julian because in the book, that's kind of the realm of what it's about, and the dolphin is really highly symbolized for like protection and guidance when you're lost type of thing.
Okay,
so and. Yeah, I don't know what it might mean, but...
I feel like everything in this show means something, definitely. So there has to be a meaning for it.
Right.
We'll find out.
Yeah. But yeah, that pretty much ties in a little bit, wraps us up. Anything, like, really big that stood out to you guys? We'll get to, of course, the predictions, but anything?
Let me see if I had any other big...
One that stood out was, I think, when Harry goes to visit his mom. In the hospital. And she's actually, we see her talking. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that was the first time we saw that. Mm-hmm. And she seemed, to me, a little bit relieved that somebody else was taking care of Harry.
Yes.
Because she couldn't do it anymore. Like, she was trying to be like, are the people that that are taking care of you nice? And he's like, I mean, it smells like old pot roast. And she just, smells are good.
Yeah. I feel like she's old Mosswood.
Ooh.
Yeah, I'm getting Mosswood vibes from her.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah.
How long has Mosswood been there? Oh, my God.
Well, I mean...
1997 when Lionel bought it, but who knows how long The Rock's been there?
Well, yeah, because, I mean, if they had that property since the 1930s, so...
Yeah.
I mean, if his mom was at the insane asylum in, like, the 70s...
Yeah, who knows? You know.
There's another woman from Mosswood at the insane asylum right
exactly,
now.
Exactly, so... Yeah. You know,
never know. Could be family. but yeah, that's all of our topics. So drop some in the comment field. Of course, we don't have time to talk about every single detail, but we try to highlight the big ones. Drop us a comment. Let us know what you want to talk about. Let us know if we missed something. But that brings us to our really cool segment called Killer Kids.
Killer Kids.
It's so creepy.
Oh, I know.
I'm just going to let you guys listen to that music for a moment. Okay, so this week's killer kids, I'm going to put a picture of them up on the screen here.
Yeah.
It's actually a duo this week.
Ooh.
And their names were Robert and Michael Beaver. Robert was 18 at the time and Michael 16. These two were probably the most horrible children I've ever heard about. They used a selection of knives that they had collected about... They'd spent a couple of months, maybe even a couple of years, collecting all these different knives. And they found a time, apparently, and they stabbed their father, David, their mother, April, and their several siblings all to death. Daniel, their 12-year-old brother, as well as Christopher, 7, Victoria, 5. And then one of their sisters also survived. There were over 100 wounds found on the family's body. And the demented pair attempted to flee the scene, but were hunted down by police dogs in the woods near their home. And they actually have all of these, like, writings from these kids, like, over the years of stuff that they said they wanted to do. They actually wanted to actually go on a killing spree that would have rivaled Columbine, they said, in some of these journal entries that they found.
Wow.
And so one of the brothers was free for a while, but he was also sentenced in the last couple of years. He's serving, I think, five back-to-back life sentences.
Wow.
And the other brother is in jail as well for a couple of life sentences.
When did this happen again?
This happened in 2005.
Wow, not that long ago. He looks like he's like 6, for crying out loud. Julian's age. He looks really like he's like 10.
He's a young 16.
It just says number 7.
Yeah, and he was born in 1993. Yeah, so it's interesting. And then one of the brothers immediately pleaded guilty, I guess. And then that brother, stood on trial as a character witness for the other brother, but obviously they were both put in jail.
Wow.
Eventually, but yeah, there's lots of videos that you can watch, and if you're into that kind of stuff, some gruesome crime scene footage and stuff like that.
All right, well, wow, that's end to our killer kid segment. I really like the segment. It brings like weird things you never would have imagined, but
it blows your mind, right? Is what it is. You're always like, I can't believe that there are children out there like this.
Oh, and that took place in Oklahoma as well.
Go to Oklahoma.
All right, Oklahoma. Well, that brings us to another cool thing: our news and gossip.
AfterBuzz TV News. It sounds so cool. I have a couple of things. So I didn't know this. Some other people might. But the actress who plays Vera, Carrie Coon, that's her name, right?
Yes.
Just making sure I'm correct on that. She is actually married to the actor who plays Jack, Heather's father, Tracy Letts, in real life.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. And they have a baby. So she turns out that she got the role because it was offered to another actress who said no. So then they then came to her and she was like, can I do this when I'm like 2 months after having a baby? She's like, that sounds crazy. Let's do it. So she just went for it. And apparently they weren't supposed to be filming a lot together. So they kind of made it sound like, oh, you know, you can pass the baby back and forth because you'll be filming when he's not, and so on and so forth. But apparently he had so many other roles that it didn't really work out that way. But regardless, she said it was a really great set to work on, and everybody was really, really supportive of her having a newborn baby and made it as easy on her as they could, which is so cool to hear.
I wonder if the newborn, like, made any, like, debuts as the prop, like, a prop or something.
The tiny baby somewhere. Right. And this is just a fun one for me and for any other video game fans out there. She also did some work on Wolfenstein, which is a really fun game that I've watched someone stream the entire thing. If you've ever played it, it's awesome. So I did not know that. So that was just fun for me.
Pretty cool.
And one other one. So they actually explain what Vera was doing in front of that big rock.
Ooh.
With one of the
episodes?
Yeah.
Interview?
Yeah. So they do an interview with IndieWire, and she says here, or no, I'm sorry, the Derek Simons is, he's a showrunner. Mm-hmm. So he says, quote, it's some kind of exercise, he confirmed. We don't have a name for it. I personally do a kind of work that's based in Jungian psychology, and so some of that has informed what we see Mosswood residents do. Although I can't condone some of the stuff that you will see in the season. I'm assuming he's referring to sacrificial animals, maybe humans. The idea of Mosswood is that they do the psychological work that's about engaging parts of yourself and your psyche that you don't normally come into contact with, more primitive states, more exuberant states, and more joyful states. Wow. So he says, we're seeing a moment of Vera working through her emotions and her pain and her frustration at having her son taken away from her and what's happening in her life. She's doing it in the space at the commune where they do this work before this rock. And I think that it becomes a totem for them. So we said that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. We did.
And Carrie's performance is really compelling. And Vera's clearly working something through. It might be off-putting and a little alienating, I think, for people. But I also think that there's something very honest about it. Mm. So, yeah. Wow, so she's working through some stuff there.
Pretty.
That's what that was.
Pretty cool. I mean, it's cool to know that, like, to get insight from people that are actually on the project. Nice.
Yeah.
Well, that brings us to our last segment, our predictions.
See what I wrote down for predictions. Nothing.
Who the heck knows? That's what you wrote. Okay, good job. What about you? Do you have any things to
add? I guess I kind of gave mine away. I don't know why I said this in the beginning of the show.
We got so excited.
I did. I got really wrapped up in what we were talking about. But I think we're going to find out that they kicked out Lionel. I keep wanting to say Lionel Richie now. They kicked the Beacon. They kicked the Beacon out of Mosswood. And they're now trying to protect Julian from him. Whether he was going to sacrifice him or not, I think that he had some nefarious ideas of what he was going to do with him. And so they kicked him out of Mosswood, and they're trying to keep him away from him. And that's when Vera took over, and now she runs it.
Mm. Nice. Well, I guess I have one prediction. I don't think Harry's going to leave. I think we're going to see him snooping around more. And then, obviously, you know, hanging out at Mosswood more. Much to the chagrin of Heather.
I don't know. He did seem really interested and intrigued when he asked Glenn, like, hey, does that stuff really work? I mean, because, you know, I'm kind of crazy, so anything that'll help.
By the way, I tried to look up that speaker thing, but I couldn't really find anything because I don't know what it's called. But I did try and find could order it.
It's
I think it's a metronome. Yeah,
a metronome.
I'm pretty sure.
Oh, but, like, put it into a speaker.
Yeah, well, I think that there's ones that you can do that with. I know... for drummers, a lot of the times they'll put that on to keep time with, and they play to a metronome to practice.
Okay, good little info next week for that. But well, my predictions, I kind of have a few. So let me real quick wrap this up. I think that they were definitely saving Julian. I think, I don't know. There's a mystery man that we have still yet to figure out. I think there's going to be another character that comes in because we forgot about the skinny, tall guy that took the death position from Carmen. There's just a guy, somebody floating around. We'll figure out who that is. But I think that they were saving him. I think he was going to be used as a tool, for sure. I think the Beacon saw his opportunity of, wow, this is either going to be a sacrificial goat, like literally everybody in the Twitter world thought, or his kind of pawn or like a superhuman type of tool. But he was definitely being saved. That's why they had clothes. I think maybe Marin or someone was waiting. And that's, to me, they had books and tapes as evidence to prove what type of place that this was.
Yeah.
But it could be that they just wanted to start their own as well. I think Heather will definitely realize that she needs Ambrose more than she thinks. I think her safety is going to be tested, whether or not I think she'll be in some physical harm. And I really want to know who was trying to, of course, take Julian. I think it's Beacon. We don't know who he is or what his intentions are. But yeah, that's pretty much, I think that's all about what I did. And I do think Julian made a mistake. He knew that he was killing these people, but I think he thought he was making the right move because maybe he did think that he was being kidnapped, but then quickly realized that he made a mistake and that's why he's so torn up about it.
I agree. Yeah. I agree with you on that, yeah.
And hopefully we'll find out what actually happened to Harry.
Yes. At that hotel. I want to know. Oh, God. They did something crazy and psycho. But anyway, that's pretty much us. We have to wrap. We're running out of time here, but we will continue the conversation in comments. We love to hear them. So let them know where they can find you, ladies, to continue the conversation.
You guys can find me on Twitter at Alice L. Ford and on YouTube and Instagram and Facebook at Alice's Adventures on Earth.
You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Zia_Land. It's spelled XIA_Land. And also this Sunday night at 10 p.m. for Marvel TV Weekly.
Nice. And you can find me, Takira Shabre, on Instagram and Twitter at Takira_Shabre. And you can find me in the comments too and respond. But thank you guys so much. We will see you next week. Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.